Everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with LaVon from LaVon Foods, host of Friday night's program. Thank you for being here with me, even though I did not post a reminder / enticing reason to listen to tonight on Facebook. A lot of us in the anti-media suffered a massive ban this week. Some of us got like 30-day Facebook jail for being too awesome. Just an example of how we are being censored. I'm really excited about tonight's show because I've been working on the conscious resistance, not only literally, but figuratively in my own life. It's something that we've always talked about in this program. And the conscious resistance is dedication to working on the self, regardless of the perils of society. Hello, Eva and Mo just got into the Love Lab. Welcome to the show, guys. So I was just talking to the audience about how we all face suppression in one form or another. Go ahead and have a seat, guys. And the theme of tonight's show is we're going to talk about how we can create free societies via agorism. Have you heard of that? So I'm going to look up that term and read it to you guys so that you can get some clearing of a word. So let me do that really quick here for my guests. So how is your guys' day? I bet. We're going to talk to you guys about why we've all had a really long day in just a minute, because the theme of tonight's show, which is agorism, it's a libertarian social philosophy that advocates creating a society in which all relations between people are voluntary exchanges by means of counter-economics, thus engaging in a manner with aspects of peaceful revolution. So, yeah, this is an idea, like, this is the idea of, like, communes meets technology meets we want a free existence as sovereign sentient beings without governments. And there are examples of it. And I was just telling people that I've been working on the conscious resistance. Like, I've been reading this book by John Vibes and Derek Brose. I just finished today, and I got to tell you, chapter 16 is about something called Zomia and the Art of Not Being Governed. And it just kind of hit it home for me, especially with literally what's happening right after the show is Eva, Mo, and I are all traveling to the expo, and we've been talking about that for a long time, Eva, and what's going to happen there? Tell me.
Well, we are going to go there and see all the food that doesn't make it to our grocery stores, because a lot of people pass down seeds from generation to generation, so there's a lot of variety out there that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and also the people, the leaders of the pure food revolution. I think meeting them it would be incredible. I really, really hope to meet some of the speakers there. I already know two of them, so I look forward to seeing them again. But I'm really excited about meeting some of the new speakers.
We're being really naughty, right, Eva? Because we are disregarding the government's desire to have our children in conventional school. And we both took our children out of school for a week to make the trip. And how did your school deal with that? Like, mine told me that it was going to be unexcused regardless of the fact that I'm his parent and I'm giving them as a valid excuse. Did you guys deal with that?
Our school was very encouraging of it. They gave a packet that he could take home and do a homeschool while he's in school, while he's still enrolled. And we told the school that we would come back and actually do a presentation about the
Ooh, that's
Heirloom
cool.
Expo for the class. So they're very supportive of it. But Elijah goes to a charter school, which I think is a lot different than a regular school. So he does have that advantage.
Yeah, I agree with you, like in the sense of wanting to maintain participation in schoolwork. The school, my son's school, was supportive, but my point is that your child's only allowed to miss school as if they're sick with documentation from a doctor. That is what they deem a valid excused absence. So they actually told me, like, if your child doesn't have a note from a doctor, we're not going to excuse it, and he's only allowed 10 a year. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But that's just another example of how the state tries to control your life. And did you know if you have too many of those in a conventional school, you could actually be put in jail? Which I think is ridiculous. So it's just, we all abide by certain things in our society just because it's normal, but it's not justifiable for our rights. You know, we unwillingly just give away our liberties because it's what's normal.
You see those kids in Mexico? I just yeah, I saw we just recently I saw video on Facebook with little girls just going into seizures after getting the
I did see
HPV
that.
vaccine.
Yeah, there was like a room full of about 50 young girls who were convulsing and having adverse reactions to a forced vaccination. And that you bring up a very important topic, Mo. I'm actually writing an article right now that I hope to be done with in a couple days about how parents feel, the anti-vax parents feel about school returning because of the new law, especially the one Jerry Brown, Governor Brown, signed. It takes an effect in 2016 that doesn't allow non-vaccinated kids to attend public school unless they have very specific, they meet very specific conditions. So I wanted to tell you guys to check out chapter 16 of The Conscious Resistance. It's downloadable online, and we're getting a call right now. Hold on one second.
It's interesting because in California they just made it mandatory to vaccinate kids, but in New Jersey it was always mandatory. So, and they used to actually vaccinate us in school, which I'm scared of that they'll actually vaccinate my son in school without me
And
knowing.
I'm not suggesting that people do or do not get vaccines. I just don't agree with the state literally dictating what I am to put in my son's body. First of all, it's not my place to rule over my son, but to guide him. And how dare the state take such authority when I don't? You know, that's how I feel. How effing dare you? And you pissed off the wrong people because mothers across the country are really fighting for that right. And it's just yet again another example of how our rights are being taken away. But we do have a caller on the line. Are you there?
Hi, Levon. It's Leslie.
Hello, Leslie. How's it going up there?
Well, right now I just tuned in. I'm in the EG Mobile. I'm in Cotati. And I just called in and I just caught a little bit of what you're talking about. So it sounds like you're talking to Eva.
Yeah, I'm here with Eva and Mo.
Yeah, that's
Hey, Leslie.
great.
Hey, Leslie, how are you?
Well, it's I'm basically good. I mean, when I'm in that healing environment of the setup of the expo, it's very profound. It's like it's a stronger energy than most of what we're talking about. You know, whether who's got the rights and stuff like that. It's like there's a power of the seeds and the power of the. I mean, to be in a room with like 300 different squash, you know, from around the world that have never said hello to one another. I mean, it's really profound. It's like, you know, and you know, there's bumps, you know, there's bumps along the way. Every day, like I just had, I was in the ER this morning. I had some kind of a bite on my back that I had to check out. Yeah, and so that was an unanticipated. I think so. I mean, you know, it's a question of, you know, you go to the hospital or the emergency, and they want you to take antibiotics versus, you know, the people I'm with went out and bought some colloidal silver gel.
Silver.
You know, and so.
You want to support your immune system, not like demolish it.
You know, it's like I would be on stage. I'm supposed to be on stage Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and to take a regimen of antibiotics right now is like, it's kind of like what you're talking about. It's like giving my whole authority. I mean, God only knows what reactions I'm going to have if I take a regular antibiotic. And once you take it, you know, you have to take it for like a week, you know, twice a day. You know, and it, you know. And so I'm kind of trusting the process of, I'm trusting the energy, you know, it's like there's a power in the expo that's drawing people there. Like I know you, tell a little bit about your own projected journey. When are you leaving, and tell me a little bit about that, and then I'll tell you a little bit about more about mine.
Well, in honor of tonight's theme, which I'm getting there. In honor of tonight's theme, which is a term called Zoism, which is referring to a community of people, like indigenous people that live without government, and there are a number of different types of people. Bunch of different types of beliefs and traditions, but they're all fleeing a government, and they exist together in a very massive space of land. And that really inspired me, because fundamentally we all want the same things as beings, and regardless if we agree with one another, I think that we can achieve these things through like collective liberation via certain principles. And I think those are going to be literally experienced in our travel. Like you said, there's going to be thousands of squash in a room that have never, they're all from all over the world. And in a sense, the people are the same, you know, we're coming from all over to this one place for one goal. We want to be made out of better stuff. And that's really empowering, to take control of your health and decide, this is what I want to be made of. This is how I'm going to live my life. That's anarchy. That, you know, that's powerful. And I think that's more in line with the truth of being than having a 9-to-5 job and paying my gas and electric bill. So.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting perspective. What's anarchy and what is the laws of nature? It's kind of like the first time I saw these squashes, which was probably a couple years ago, but when I started to pay attention to the government of these squashes, I mean, it's kind of like you look at this hall with all these human beings who have legs and arms carrying all these squashes and doing their best to name them. And it's like the shapes and the sizes, and each one of these squashes represents a food of that can't be separated from an indigenous tribe or a group. It's like, and here, you know, they've done their best to grow 300 out so people could just get alerted to the vast genetics that exist naturally, you know, it is a kind of a government. It's like when you look at all these squash, it's like you almost hear a symphony, you know, a symphony of all these elegant shapes and colors that no one has ever experienced. And it's kind of like I have been thinking a lot about, I've been thinking a lot about the, you know, how the earth yearns for every drop of cooperative living. You know, it's kind of like, I had another episode last Friday, as we did when we planted our dreams with Mo and Eva and you, you know, those weeks ago. I had another experience of the laws of nature. When I enter this state of sacred planting, I was planting these dreams all week long, and it was 90 degrees last Thursday, and then Friday morning it rained for 90 minutes, you know, and we were talking about the rain. I was telling Adam Johnson's father. Adam Johnson is one of those other botanical explorers who's making an industry and a livelihood out of the beet kvass and the tumor kvass and sweet potato kvass. You're going to meet him up here. It's like there's these amazing young people that are taking charge of their lives and livelihoods and sanity. And it's pretty profound. You know, I was just planting these sacred seeds, which is kind of entering a different government, a different law, that when people are in harmony with nature, there are different rules, different things happen. And I do think those indigenous people that are rebelling, like I know there's, I caught a little bit of that looking at the news, or not really the news, but on Facebook. But there are people really rebelling right now at the same time that we're coming to launch this pure food revolution here. You know, and it's like people are coming together to support the government of nature and the government of the squash and the government of people who want to live like Eva does and Mo, you know, by the laws of really earning a livelihood with the things that matter.
Yeah. What are you guys working on right now, like as a family, and like what's the shift been like moving from like one paradigm to another? Because the book I've been reading, they say there are four levels of consciousness, and I'm not going to define each one, but there's one where you see yourself as separate from everything, and you move through the levels to where you ultimately see yourself as everything. And I feel like moving from conventional life to a sustainable life is that, in a sense, the same thing. Where are you guys at in that?
Well, it's a process, you know. At first, we wanted to purchase the Eco Womb, which was already completely converted. However, since we couldn't afford that, and since we were really heart set on making the trip up, we purchased the vehicle that we are going to do the full conversion to ourselves. And we've learned a lot along the way. So far, we've changed the fuel. So we're now running on renewable fuel from Propel diesel HPR, which is actually cleaner than biodiesel. It's a high-performance renewable diesel, and it smells great, which is really nice because the diesel smelled really bad. And we've changed out all the light bulbs, well, not all, but most of the light bulbs to LEDs. We've put in water-saving faucets, a water-saving shower. We put in a filtered shower. Ecolo Blue donated an atmospheric water generator, so we've got that in the vehicle. We've already put a small decal on it, but we're still a work in process. We got Enviro Coatings. They have a paint which actually cools down houses and buildings and even RVs. Just paint the roof, and it reflects light so that it doesn't get hot. So we got a can of that to experiment with to see how that's going to work. And learning about a lot of different products. I mean, ever since we came up with Green Places, I've been contacted from people all over the world that are talking to me about doing the same thing. And it's interesting because more people, I've gotten emails from Africa, from India. I've gotten a few people from the United States, but there's more people in other countries that are contacting me that are very interested in Green Places being in their country. So, I mean, right now we're just kind of working, filling up this database, and we've put a lot of vegan and organic places in California. We're starting to upload all the other businesses. But, it's just growing, and the more we put on there, the more access to resources people will have, and we're hoping to go out there and interact with people face to face and encourage them, say if you have diesel, you can just switch right away. You don't even have to do anything to your engine. You can just go and put it into your tank, and it'll take the clean diesel. So that's huge. And I mean, this thing that we're driving is a bus. I mean, it's enormous. If vegetable grease and fats and whatever food waste because that it's made out of is running this giant machine, then I think there's a lot of hope of getting away from
Yeah,
fossil fuels.
potential, tons of
Tons
potential.
of potential of getting away from fossil fuels. So every, going through this process is going to give us a chance to learn a lot more. We have a mechanic that's going to do the veggie conversion. So we are going to have the veggie conversion as well. But right now we found out that for $2.45 a gallon, we could already drive on renewable fuel. So that's very exciting.
Eva, I wanted to say you're certainly heading in a direction where you're going to be exposed to a lot of people, people of all ages who are really working to do sustainable living in ways that I never even imagined, ways that blew my mind this last week. Can I tell you about one?
Sure.
Okay, Levon, I went to this what's called the Farmers Guild. You know how sometimes we have potlucks in San Diego? I used to wonder lots of times when people came together for an event, what were they doing? What were their problems? How did they sustain themselves? How did they pay the rent? What did they do? Well, up here, I went to this Farmers Guild, and there was a speaker, and everybody in the room was dealing with a different set of problems. They were like either people on the land already, or people that were dealing with farm burnout, or, but the speaker, one of the most interesting things that I had never even thought of, that blew my mind. I've heard of things like a food shed, what people want to build, what they want to have bioregional food sheds where they're in charge of their own growing of food. Well, I never heard of a fiber shed. I mean, I met some people and heard a speaker where I came into contact with a different kind of person that their energy was so different. It started last Saturday when I met this one girl who grazes cattle on land by ancient practices, and because of the, she's called a herdess, and her energy was different than anybody I've ever met in San Diego. It's because she had contact with animals in a way that was harmonious, and it was so profound to experience energetically what was something else. And then at this Farmers Guild, I heard another lady that was talking about millions of pounds of wool from sheep that is thrown out, and here we are getting into all these contaminated things to clothe ourselves. You talk about industries. I mean, there are young people in this place where trees grow getting involved with whole other kinds of industries that I never even conceived. It's called, and they're going to be at the National Heirloom Expo. There's a whole workshop on this.
Yeah, Leslie, a lot of people are inspired by our show tonight. We've actually got two callers on the line. I want to reach out to the person with the 818 area code. Are you there?
¿Qué pasa, chica? ¿Cómo estás?
I'm so well. Thank you. I don't want to butcher Spanish right now. Thanks for calling in, dude. How are you?
Hey, you know Manny, I'm always keeping track of, you know, who's doing some good stuff out there. I want to take my hat off to Sister Eva Ruth and also Mo Ruth because I've been keeping track of them because I think what they're doing is great, and I think everybody should be doing it, you know, especially here in the United States where people throw away very materialistic country. They throw away food, they throw away stuff like that, and they don't understand, you know, that people are going through hardships right now, like the refugees and stuff like that. Unfortunately, the United States has a lot of, you know, guilt in what other countries have gone through because, you know, the United States has a lot of blood in their hands about that. But that's another story, you know. But I became a vegetarian. I was a migrant worker, obviously, for a couple of years, you know, before, you know, because when you're undocumented, you can't get another job and stuff like that. And so to be part of the land, you know, was great and stuff like that. The only problem is the way they treat you and stuff like that. But now in doing what you guys are doing, Mo and Eva, it's really great because we need to educate people on organic. A lot of people don't understand that they should become vegetarians or vegans, and people says, well, how do you know about that? Well, if a guy from Acapulco, Mexico can become a vegetarian, I think everybody can become one here in the United States, you know, stuff like that, you know. So it's great when Eva's talking about green places because every time I go somewhere, you know, anywhere in the world that my film crew goes to, in filming or I was an activist, I always look for these restaurants, like, for instance, Pokies down there in San Diego, your way, Rancho down on 30 University North Park, or the Veggie Grill that we have here in Hollywood, but also you have one down there also at UTC and one in Carlsbad, you know, stuff like that. So it's just a really good thing that, you know, Eva and Mo are doing. And Levon, you're making it happen, girl, because you're letting people be able to be on your show, talk about it and stuff like that. Leslie, you're doing a good job out there on the road and stuff like that, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Manny.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, Manny.
And as we are populating this website with all these organic restaurants and all these sustainable resources, we encourage people to go on there and add listings. And it's a free option. Anybody could go on the website and list their favorite restaurant or their own restaurant. We do have a featured option for $10, but we're not pushing that on people. You could get on there for free and put your favorite restaurant and think of it as sharing with your community. You know, you put your favorite restaurants, the organic resources, the solar companies, the green products that you use on the site, and you can share them with all your friends and all your community members. You know, share it with your kids' school. And get everybody on board because a lot of people that I've talked to, they want to eat organic. As soon as anybody knows that there's poison sprayed on the food or it's injected directly into the genes, they always want to eat organic. I haven't really met a single person that says, oh, okay, that sounds delicious, you know? So as soon as people gain the awareness, they're kind of stuck because right now, the only place you could really get organic food is if you go to the grocery store. You know, more and more grocery stores are starting to cater to have organic food. But when it comes to the restaurants, it's still very few and far in between as far as having restaurants.
Yeah, that's correct. And stuff like that. Also, one mention in that video that you guys were actually broadcasting out there that was in Spanish, and you know, of course, a lot of people weren't understanding what was going on. I mean, you could see visual, but I always told people never take a shot. I don't trust the government. I don't care. Shots, I mean, like, you know, like for instance, I like those mothers that are fighting for their kids to be poisoned by those shots and stuff like that. So what that guy was actually saying on the video in Spanish is he was pleading for the county and the city and the state government to come out there and give them help. to tell the government not to be so vicious and to just be, you know, bystanders and watching these people, you know, suffer the way they were with these young ladies that were being vaccinated and stuff like that. So it's just a bad thing. You know, it's like no different than when Monsanto was, you know, putting chemicals while we were still working in the field. They didn't care and stuff like that, you know. So when people actually ask me all the time, they ask me, Manny, you're serious about when you say what you say as an activist. I'm willing to die for justice. Are you? You know, that's the bottom line. You know, I almost got arrested this year down in Woodland because we shut down Monsanto. That was a big victory for us, you know, stuff like that, you know, because Monsanto's got to go, you know, at any cost and stuff like that. So it's just one of those things that people need to be educated and stuff like that. And people in the United States need to wake up to the real world because people don't understand what's going on. Like, for instance, with our, you know, brothers are working the fields in San Quintín, working for $1 an hour and stuff like that, with the poisonous and stuff like that. And there's American companies from the United States, they're copying all that stuff like Driscoll and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up lots of great points, Manny, and we are seeing a lot of outcry from countries all over the world for the suppressed people because there's a plague, there's an epidemic of government, and it's too big, and they've gotten too much power, and we're seeing an example of it everywhere. People want to live their lives. And we're talking and exploring examples of how we can do it without government. I've been telling people about a book called The Conscious Resistance. And this is a really amazing book because it talks about how all of the religions of the world have the same principle and how they've been corrupted by organized religions to as a means of force and another type of government governing towards people. And it brings forth the notion that there are different realms of existence, meaning you can change your reality if you alter your perception, which got me really excited because that's like a mantra of my life and that's a theme I've always shared on this show. And I just want to read to you the chapters of this book, and you guys can download it online, like right now. It's The Conscious Resistance, Reflections on Anarchy and Spirituality. But the point in this book is that you don't have to be a slave to your master. You're only a slave if you follow their dictations, and you can free your mind, and you can take ownership of your body, and you can reclaim your sovereignty. And we got to come together as people, though. You know, what are you passionate about? What do you like to do? Guess what? That's your job in the new world. Take ownership of it. So there's two parts to this book. Part one's naming the path. So what is the conscious resistance? Chapter two is exploratory of agnosticism. Chapter three, reality beyond the five senses. Then they talk about panarchy, anarchy without objectives. Tomorrow's inner child saves the world. Then they talk about consciousness and rights applied to animals, plants, and earth. Super awesome chapter where they go into the neurosciences and, you know, biological neurosciences of plants, animals, and humans and how they're the same. Plants have a consciousness. We've proven it, that they make decisions based on rationale. So do animals. Mm. And how can we operate as such a sense of selfishness any longer? It's not sustainable. Mo has some thoughts.
So one thought that came to mind is, and you know, I grew up in a place where, you know, that exists a lot, is ignorance. You know, as much as I have advanced, you know, as far as my knowledge about these things in the past few years, I think information is one of the most crucial things that we can provide to these people. To anyone, really, all across the globe, whether you're in Israel on that side or you're in Palestine on that the other side, and in America especially, you know, people have the freedom of speech and they can talk to each other about things, and it's really information. As much as we know, there's a lot of kids out there that are still with the trends, still with the motion, still with the, you know, trendy hip-hop clips and, you know, whatever, you know, they typically watch nowadays, which has been completely corrupted by our society. Well, our government, more like it, and the hierarchy of the society anywhere. I spoke to a writer this week, he actually helped me out. We got stuck along the way with broken batteries because we had to replace those batteries. They were getting quite old. It is an old rig. And this gentleman, he was talking to me, and I kind of opened him up to talk a little bit about, you know, conspiracy and what's going on really in the whole Hollywood industry and how, you know, people are prone to not really even take specific scripts just because it's not about art anymore. So he was telling me about how it's not art, it's not about, you know, moving the people, it's merely just about capital and about people profiting over other people suffering and about people profiting bottom line. So if there's something that sells, like the next, you know, Spider-Man, if you will, you know, in a direct comparison to something like Avatar, which may, you know, show up greater, you know, audience or, you know, greater, I would say, visual and artistic sense. These people prefer the high capital over it. They prefer a lot of money over, you know, what people really have to say for themselves individually. So I think, you know, and it goes on all levels. It goes into the school district, just like you said. A lot of people want to control what the kids think and how the kids behave and how what type of vaccines they should put into their bodies and things to that nature. And it's really getting out there. I mean, you got Trump running for president in 2016 here, so.
Whoa,
and that's a lot of ignorance all in and by itself, because people.
Hey, Levon, can I want to interject something.
Thank you for that, Mo. You have a lot of good points, by the way. Yeah.
That was great, Mo.
Go ahead, Leslie.
I wanted to say, as far as being exposed to what is dead and dying and what wants to live, it's like, I feel like there's a fighting chance for life up in this area of where trees still live. And when I was looking across the street before it got dark, and there was a bunch of sheep there, you know, just somebody had some sheep. But, you know, you talk about dying and dead religions versus right use of land. I just give me some feedback on what I saw last Saturday. I was at this place called the St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, which is in walking distance of the Luther Burbank Experiment Garden. And on this church property, once again, my mind was blown. In one room, they had a seed exchange, which was the most organized seed exchange I've personally ever witnessed. All these people came in to get free seeds and hear a talk about tomatoes, and somebody was giving a lecture on how to raise tomatoes, and it was levels of information about agriculture that I had never even heard. I mean, concepts of, you know, why this tomato will grow up in this area and how you need to water it even though there's a drought because the genes are going to switch. That was in one room, a seed library. Then there was a Buddhist group that was providing a meal for the homeless, or they didn't even call them homeless. It was just anybody who wanted to come. This Buddhist group in Sebastopol was getting together, and every week some spiritual or religious group or whatever gets together and provides a meal for whoever comes. And some of the people came were like people who were traveling and needed a shower or whatever. That was another thing. And then the third thing, there was a food pantry. On the same property was a food pantry, and while I was there, a man came to drop off organic food to the pantry, and I actually got a certain kind of squash that I was interested in. And then there was one more thing on this land. There was a garden called Seed Garden, and it wasn't for food. It was just for growing seeds, and it was happening right on this land that was somehow in the hands of this church. It really made me want to come back the next day and hear what were they talking about. And there was the first thing that I saw, there was a statue when I came of St. Francis, who is one of my favorite saints, you know, the one who talked to animals. But what do you think of that? I mean, in this area, I've never seen anything like that down in that area of Southern California, right use of land that's orchestrated by a church. But I stepped in this other world up here where people are committed to living and they're committed to creating other industries. That's what I ran into. It just blew my mind. Give me some feedback on that in the context of the book in other words, what's dying and what's trying to live.
So I really like where you're going there, Leslie. Just to point some stuff out here. The way I've seen it, really, in California especially, because there's areas in Israel that they do that too. In Northern California, a lot of people are more prone to stay with nature and kind of adopt the new lifestyle that you're talking about. And that's amazing. That's absolutely, like, that's something I want to see, like, here very shortly. And we're going to be able to experience that with you firsthand next week. But I noticed that it's almost like broken into two parts where you got most of the urban cities, from all the way from San Diego to L.A. to even San Francisco, for that matter, are completely almost disconnected from the outside, the suburban areas, and farther more, the outside of the Northern California area, especially, because I've been there up to Mendocino County, I've seen, and it's beautiful, just gorgeous. Everything is more, there's more space, first of all, there's more, living off the ground. You can tell already just by passing there that there's more organic farms just by name, but just by the cause of things. And there seems to be this huge separation almost between Northern and Southern California. And that's something that I got to observe firsthand here, and I completely see it. And what your specifications of the lifestyle over there are like, that's amazing.
Well, what's your feedback on that, LaVon?
Well, it seems like another reality, and to agree with what Mo says is I'm looking forward to experiencing it soon. Like, it's going to be our reality soon, and more importantly, like, I was so inspired by this book and these words and the journey of the people who wrote it. And their ideas of religion and, means of control by government and desires as a person in comparison to all other sentient things in the planet, it's really all coming together, it really is. Not to sound cliche, but we're going to go to a festival where people's intentions are going to be tangible. Like, these people had this idea of sharing seeds. Now they've got this immense seed bank to which they attract, like, hundreds and hundreds of vendors and innovators and growers and thinkers. It's energy in motion. You know what I mean? We're going to go see this culmination of beautiful happenings, and it's exciting because we're going to come back like with our own book. I read a book of somebody's experience. I'm going to come back with my own experience and my whole new relationships with people that we hope to make tangible here. Mo talked about all the farms up north. Well, we're going up north. We want to bring back stuff to make farms. Yeah, we're gonna bring the farm back. Like, why not?
That's going to bring the farm back to the city.
That's yeah. Like, what do you got to say, Eva?
It's there in Old Town. You go to Old Town, and they still have a lawn just like they did hundreds of years ago. It's blatantly obvious by having that museum there showing us what it looked like when we first got here, and everybody grew food and nobody had lawns full of grass. And hopefully we're gonna go to this festival get a whole bunch of seeds and plant them everywhere. And, you know, let's find places, let's find churches, let's, you know, churches with really green lawns. Let's just approach them and ask if we could just go ahead and dig up their lawn and plant some seeds.
Well, Eva, there is a couple places, like, you know, where they have the Peace Garden and the Quakers, and there's a bunch, you know, there, like where we had the Kale Festival, they had a beautiful garden, and it seems like there was the Peace Center was there, and there was a lot of collaboration. But, you know, part of what I'm seeing up here, and Levon, there's so much education that's going to be being put out in 3 days. And one of the things that I don't see here that's really needed is the media or the people like who are recording this to make sure the wisdom gets done. Like, for instance,
well, that's not true. I'm going as the anti-media, and we just wrote an article about it.
No, that's what I was pointing out. That's what I mean. I mean, all I'm saying is that there's so many classes and so much wisdom that, you know, really needs to be recorded or noted. Like, for instance, there's this the National Heirloom Expo isn't live streamed. Like, for instance, right now, if you wanted to, tomorrow, there's another event in Richmond, which is called From Oil to Soil, which is live streaming. The National Heirloom Expo, at this point, it's organized by farmers, you know, from Missouri, and food growers, and they don't necessarily got that component yet of the live streaming and stuff. Like, you know, like my little talk, my opening ceremony is only 10 minutes. That's all I need, but that's easy to record and to put out. But I'm glad you're coming up with your media orientation, Levon. That's actually what I was leaning toward. I was just giving you a heads up of how much information is here that hopefully we could influence in the future. You know, that it could be live streamed or whatever. Moving with that thought.
Well, thank you for that. I'm just concerned with time. We've got about 10 minutes left of the show, and I really wanted to tell our audience about the article on the antimedia.org. We gathered some reasons why people should volunteer at the expo. Maybe you aren't aware of all the events that are going on. There's like a plethora, and we only highlighted some of them. So if you volunteer, you get to go the rest of the day and you get a meal. There's going to be a lot of vendors. Like last year, we talked about that there were 350 vendors. They're all promoting products pertaining to natural food, growing heirlooms, sustainability, green living, and general health. And this is like any other place, any other exposition in the world. And Mo brought up the fact that there's going to be a lot of speakers, and there's a few here. Do you want to talk about those, Mo? So there's this guy who directed the Jeremy Seifert, right? Is that how you say that?
Jeremy Seifert.
Excuse me. He directed the GMO. Oh my God! Have you seen that, Leslie?
Yeah, we saw it. We saw it down there at the World Beef Center. We saw that together. Yeah, you know, Mo and Eva and I. Yeah.
Yeah, we saw that.
That's the one we talked about. Yeah, that's it. So these are a lot of important people. Jeffrey Smith, Dr. Shiva. And there's going to be a lot of events. There's an educational day for kids. There's a competition via chefs. There's a giant pumpkin contest. Have you seen any of those, Leslie?
Yeah, I have seen it. It's like this hall of flowers that they're setting up now. You know, it's like that's where the cooperation can really be enhanced. It's like, you know, I've been alerting people all week to volunteer opportunities, because, boy, what joy to be in that hall like on Sunday when they're setting that up, you know, to actually create this World's Fair. I mean, you'll be able to see of Pure Food. You'll be able to see some of the images on my Facebook, you know, Leslie Goldman, you're in Channel Gardner. I've been uploading that, but I've been uploading various Facebook albums right and left, you know, my arrival with Jared Gettle. You know, Jared Gettle's one of the speakers, and Jared Gettle is the one who, when he was 17, he saw all the seeds disappearing of the world, and he had this idea, hey, you know, I'm going to start a seed company. Well, now he's got 1,800 varieties of what we call rare heirloom seeds. And heirloom, most people don't understand what that means. That means these are either the indigenous foods that go with indigenous living, or they're foods that have been sort of becoming heirlooms, but they're rare, you know, sort of like what Lucifer Burbank was making. So, yeah, anyway, that's all I have to say about that. But there's, you know, to volunteer at something like this and to help create the Pure Food Revolution, I really get it, that that's what brings the rain. I really get that it's that element of cooperation that brings the sacred seeds and alerts nature that we mean business, so to speak. You know, we mean business with nature, you know, to create this new world, you know. And it's not all pure revolution, food revolution up here, but it's kind of like I can see the split between the people who would just like to make a profit off of everything versus the people holding on to a way of life. Like I spoke before the city council the other night in Sebastopol and thanked them for maintaining the kind of houses they have. You know, it's like you go down the street and you can run into old houses. It's so beautiful, you know, to see things that are not all Jack in the Box.
Yeah, I think one of the important reasons to volunteer at the food expo is because, I mean, these people are farmers. These are the most important people in our lives. These people are keeping us alive by growing our food. This is extremely important. I mean, it's something that people take completely for granted, that there are people that devote their entire lives to growing our food. And the ones that are doing it organically and challenging the forces of nature, those are the people that we really need to respect and thank and be grateful for and support.
And
farmers!
Yeah!
Because that's what's going to keep
us. Hey, LaVon, here's one little thing that you should know. Today, I brought one watermelon from JR Organic up, and we ate it, you know, and it was the second year of the row. It was like our San Diego watermelon from JR Organic Farmers Market was so top of the line. It's like everybody was raving and ate the San Diego watermelon. Was better tasting than any that they had harvested so far that they could taste. It's like we do have our farmers down there that we need to support at the farmers market.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that, Leslie. So just to cover tonight's topics, we talked about being empowered via self-education, self-sustenance, self-appreciation, self-gratification. You want to do what you love and you want to love what you do. And if you focus on the whole while maintaining the unit, I think we can achieve an ideal living environment without titles, without rules, without regulations, without being labeled migrants, refugees, you know, anarchists, liberals, what the hell ever.
I don't want to be a socialist, a farmer, a mother, a woman. I don't want to be any of those things. I want to be a being, living with other beings, respecting them while they're respecting me. And I think, yeah, I want to create a healthier world, and I want to embody it, and I want to not only envision it, but I want to touch it and feel it. And I think we're going to go do that. And we want to support other people who are doing the same thing, and we want them to support us. So we're going to come home with ideas and enthusiasm to implement them. And we're going to come home sponsoring people and people sponsoring us, because we need to do more of that as a society. People sponsoring people. I want to thank Manny for calling in. You're a farmer, and you're an activist, and your voice is loud, and we appreciate it. So thank you for your support, Manny. We love you.
Thank you, Manny.
I'm going to try and bring you back some seeds, man. Like, what's your favorite food, Manny? Tell us. What's something
you love? My favorite food?
Yeah. What kind of family of seed do you desire having?
Oh, my God. My favorite thing is cilantro and avocado.
Okay. Cilantro and avocado. We'll see what kind of seed babies we can manifest for you. And Leslie, thank you for calling in from the road once again. It's fun archiving your journey. And we're excited to meet you at the festival, where there's going to be tons of innovations, tons of people who are growing food and manifesting a healthier world. And we're going to go be a bunch of beings together. So we're super stoked. And we'll be reporting again here next Friday, which will hopefully be back in town. So we'll have lots to share from the road. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we'll be on the road. So here's to that. And got any final words, Leslie?
No, I think we did it. I think we said it, LaVon. My final words is safe travels, and I'll look forward to seeing you all. And there is, I know there's going to be a place to park the RV, which I, Eva, we should talk more about that. There are other places where you could just park.
Okay, and that's a private conversation. And
that's a private conversation.
Yep, that's not
and so all
podcast.
I'm saying is, yeah, all I'm saying is safe travel.
I would like to thank everybody that made this possible. Leslie, you,
my
of course. Echo Wombs. The Echo Wombs are absolutely amazing. You know, they had an amazing event a few months back with OMG GMO or GMO OMG. And I'd like to thank everybody that really, including LaVon, absolutely LaVon, for making this possible.
Yeah. And Anti-Media.
Yeah.
And Anti-Media for exposing the truth, absolutely.
And my mama. And our mamas. All of our mamas.
Thank you, Mom.
Mother Earth, we'll see you soon. Thank you, Mo,
Eva, LaVon, Buenas noches. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.